Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners will now come to order. I'm going to go ahead and give a couple of reminders here going forward. We'll go ahead and continue these meetings in this format until we end up getting the all clear from Governor Sisolak to we can resume regular meeting. When someone would like to speak, please state your name clearly and loudly so that the audio will pick you up. When you're not speaking, please remember to mute your microphone when you're not speaking. Public comment will be called for prior to each vote and at the end of the meeting. Should you have a comment, please wait till it's called for. When making your public comments, please limit your comments to 5 minutes, okay? That's all we have for right now. So I know a lot of you are in your office or at home, but if you'd like to stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, I appreciate it. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, under God, liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all.
One more reminder before we follow on is that there's a little bit of a time delay in the time that someone speaks, and we receive it, and probably going out as well. So when someone's ready to speak, maybe pause just for a moment or two to make sure that the audio is cleared all the way around for us, okay? Thank you. We're going to move along now to item number 3. This is discussion for possible action, approval of the agenda for April the 9th, 2020. Mr. Osborne, do we have any changes to make to today's agenda?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we do. What we're going to recommend is that we continue item number 6. This is the switch presentation of Silver City Circuit. We want to continue that until the June 2nd County Commission meeting at the Story County Courthouse. We also would like to take number 4 committee and staff report and move it to item number 13 or after item number 13.
Very good. Thank you, Austin. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none. Commissioner Carmona, if I get a motion to approve the agenda.
Move to approve today's agenda with the noted modifications.
Commissioner Gilman, if I get a second.
I second motion.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along to item number 5. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. I'll start with Commissioner Gilman. Have you any comments today?
No, I have nothing today. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Vice Chair Carmona?
Nothing today.
Very good. Thank you, Jay. My only comments are is that Story County is still holding in there strong. Please keep your social distancing as the directive from Governor Sisolak, and I think the hand washing is going to work out pretty well. I understand from what I hear, not from a scientist, but there are fewer cases of the flu and cold that have been going around. It's probably attributed simply to hand washing. So hang in there. Once again, I'd like to remind our residents to look out for your neighbors. If you're going to the grocery store, check on your neighbor. Maybe you can pick up a few items for them to save them the trip, or the post office. The more we stay at home, the faster we'll get through this pandemic. Okay? Thank you all. We're going to move along now to item number 7. This is a discussion for possible action, special use permit 2020-012. So, Ms. Canfield, would you like to take this? We have a frozen frame from your office, Austin.
Where are you? Can you hear us?
We're okay now. Yes.
Did you, okay, and I got to plug some things in here. We're having a, so I won't have the microphone, but Kathy's going to talk, and so we'll be fine. Just hold on 1 second here. We're almost there. We had a little technical glitch. Can Kathy go ahead and talk? Can everyone hear Kathy when she talks?
I haven't talked yet, but are we ready for item number 7?
Yes, we are.
And when Kathy speaks, are you guys getting where you see her, the screen blows up a bit?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, thank you, Jen. Appreciate it.
Okay, item number 7 is a request from the applicant for a bed and breakfast inn. It's at 120 North Howard Street, and the parcel is approximately a half acre in size. It contains an existing residence and a detached garage. The applicants are proposing to utilize 2 bedrooms and common rooms as the inn. They will also be living on site and will be the operators of the bed and breakfast inn. They are required to have 4 on-site parking spaces, and that can be accommodated on site. Staff did receive a letter of support from a neighbor for the project, and then I also talked with an adjacent neighbor who is also supportive of the project. At the Planning Commission meeting, we did add 2 conditions of approval, one related to noise and one a review of the permit after a year of operation. The applicant was okay with adding both of those conditions. And staff is recommending approval of the project, and the Planning Commission voted 6-0 in favor of the project with 1 for staff. I'm not sure if the applicant is on our conference call here or not.
Yes, I am. My name is Michelle Buckman. I am present.
So I'm happy to answer any questions, and Michelle is here also.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any concerns or questions for Kathy in reference to this item?
I don't. I believe our Planning Commission did a great job covering this.
Very good. Thank you. Commissioner Carmona?
None here.
All right. Thank you, Jay. Before we go further, Ms. Buckman, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Great. Thank you for attending by audio today. We have a few bed and breakfast in Virginia City, and we've had some pretty good success with it over the years. I've always put Cobb Mansion as at the top of the list for a well-run property. We would expect that you'll be running your property in the same manner. The concern that always arises in putting a bed and breakfast in a residential community is the quality of life for your neighbors, and the noise factor and traffic, things of those nature. So, as an example, on the same street but at the south end of town, we've had in the past a property owner that has leased out their property without a permit or permission to weekend revelers, and it's been a very inconvenience for people in that neighborhood with loud music, throwing items, and property damage. So this is a special use permit, so this is a little bit different than just applying for a general business license. I'm sure you're aware of that through the process you've had to go through already. So you're being held to a little higher standard than someone with a general business license. I know there's also a concern in your neighborhood too of adequate parking too. So we have to keep in mind that your neighbor of not obstructing access to his property by having your guest park blocking his driveway area. So with that said, we expect and we hope that you are very successful in your endeavor, and hope you have a real nice success with your new bed and breakfast.
Thank you.
Do you wish to comment on anything that I've said so far?
I want to thank the commissioners and everybody there very much. We intend to run a very legitimate, licensed, safe bed and breakfast. We've been working very closely with Connie from the Cobb Mansion, Bud from the Sun Mountain B&B, and we feel our prices and our connection is very good, and we plan to continue to working together. So thank you for wishing us success.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Buckman. With everything that's been said so far, if there's is there any other public comment out there before I ask Planning Department to go ahead and continue on? Okay, without hearing anything else, if there's no objections, Ms. Canfield, if you would read the findings of facts for approval on this item.
This approval is for special use permit 2020-0112 to operate a two-room bed and breakfast inn within an existing residence in the R1 residential zone. The property owners will occupy the residence, and two bedrooms along with common rooms will be available for guests. Parking for the inn will be provided on site. The subject property is located at 120 North Howard, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, and having assessor's parcel number 001-023-06. The proposed project complies with the general purpose, goals, objectives, and standards of the county master plan, this title, and any other plan, program, map, or ordinance adopted or under consideration pursuant to official notice by the county. The proposal, location, size, height, operations, and other significant features will be compatible with and will not cause substantial negative impact on adjacent land uses, or will perform a function or provide a service that is essential for the surrounding land use community and neighborhood. The proposed project will result in no substantial or undue adverse effect on adjacent property, the character of the neighborhood, traffic conditions, parking, public improvements, public sites or right-of-way, or other matters affecting the public health, safety, and general welfare, either as they now exist or as they may in the future be developed as a result of the implementation of the provisions and policies of the county master plan, this title, and any other plans, program map, or ordinance adopted or other consideration pursuant to an official notice by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction to guide growth and development. The proposed use in the proposed area will be adequately served by and will impose no undue burden on any of the improvements, facilities, utilities, or services provided by the county or other governmental agency having jurisdiction in the county. The special use permit conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the over neighborhood area specific plan portion of Virginia City in which the subject property is located. A discussion supporting this finding is provided in section 2.z of the staff report, and the contents thereof are cited in an approval of the special use permit. The conditions under the special use permit do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code section 17.03 special use permit, 17.12 general provision, and 17.16 R1 residential.
Very good. Thank you, Kathy. Once again, I'll ask if there's any public comment from the audience. Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, would you please make a motion to approve this item?
Yep. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3A of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Jay Carmona, move to approve Special Use Permit 2020-012, operation of a two-room bed and breakfast inn within an existing residence in the R1 residential zone. The property owners will occupy the residence, and two bedrooms along with the common rooms will be available for guests. Parking for the inn will be provided on site. The subject property is located at 120 North Howard, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, and having assessor's parcel number 001-023-06.
Thank you, Commissioner. Did I get a second on that?
Yes.
Very good. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Good luck, Ms. Buckman.
Yes?
We said good luck to you and Jason.
Oh! Okay. Thank you, everybody, very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
You're welcome.
All right, moving along now to item number 8 for discussion and possible action. This is map parcel 2020-013. It's proposed to create two parcels from one previously consolidated parcel. Anyway, I'll let Kathy go ahead and continue on with the description on this.
All right, thank you. This is a parcel map for a property located at 140 South Cube Street, which is north of the Washington between P and Q. The applicants are proposing to divide a parcel that had previously been consolidated back into two parcels. The size of the consolidated parcel is approximately 17,000 square feet. The minimum lot size for this area is 5,000, so each parcel more than meets the minimum requirements. The new lot line that will go back in is approximately 15 feet to the south of the previous location. The southern portion of the property has no primary use associated with it. The northern parcel has an existing residence. There are some sheds on the southern parcel portion, but those will be removed. I believe the applicant has already submitted an application for a new residence on the southern parcel. We sent out notices to adjacent property owners. We didn't receive any comments on this. Staff is recommending approval, and the Planning Commission voted 6-0 to recommend approval with one person abstaining.
Very good. Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any comments or concerns on this item?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Carmona?
I do not.
Thank you. Is there any public comment from anyone in the audience? Is the property owner online today?
I don't believe so.
Okay. All right. Good enough. So if there's no objections, Kathy, if you'd read the findings of fact for the approval of this motion.
This approval is for parcel map 2020-013 to create two parcels from one previously consolidated parcel. Originally, the land in question was two individual parcels of land. The two original parcels were consolidated into one legal lot of record in 2013. This parcel map will divide the consolidated parcel into two individual parcels, returning the land to the parcel. The property is located at 140 South Cube Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, and having assessor's parcel number 001-257-08. The parcel map complies with NRS 278.461 through 278.469 relating to the division of land into four or less parcels. The parcel map complies with all federal, Nevada, state, and county regulations pertaining to parcel maps and allowed land uses. The parcel map will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding vicinity. The conditions under this parcel map do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code Chapter 17.16 R1 residential zones or any other federal, Nevada, state, or county regulations. The parcel map conforms to the 2016 Story County Master Plan for the Silver Star Neighborhood Area, Pacific Plan Area of Virginia City, in which the subject property is located. A discussion supporting this finding for the special use permit is provided in section 2.C of this staff report.
Very good. Thank you, Kathy. Once again, I'll ask if there's any public comment regarding this item. And with hearing none, if I'd ask Commissioner Carmona to motion for approval on this.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3A of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners, and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Jay Carmona, move to approve parcel map 2020-13 to create two parcels from one previously consolidated parcel. Originally, the land in question was two individual parcels of land. The two original parcels were consolidated into one legal lot of record in 2013. This parcel map will divide the consolidated parcels into two individual parcels, returning the land to two parcels. The property is located at 140 South Q Street, Virginia City, Story County, Nevada, and having assessor's parcel number 001-257-08.
I second your motion, Jay.
All right. There's been a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Moving along now to item number 9, discussion for possible action. The first reading of Bill 115, Ordinance 20-304, text amendments to the Story County Code Title 17 Administrative Provisions to clarify and modify language and align to NRS noticing requirements in Section 17.03.050 and 17.03.060 and 17.03.070 and 17.03.080. So, Ms. Canfield?
Thank you. So, this number 9, 10, 11, and 12 are all our proposed amendments to Title 17. We started this, looking at these chapters in October of 2018, and since that time, we have had 13 public hearings at the Planning Commission, and have also, of those 13 meetings, we had one at the Mark Twain Community Center, one at the Lockwood Senior Center, and then also one at the Highlands Fire Station. We're moving these forward, even though this, the way the situation in the world is right now, and doing these over the phone is maybe not the best way to have a thorough discussion, but we believe after 13 meetings, we've really covered most of these topics pretty well. And we also, on some of the further ones, we do have some applicants waiting for some of these changes that are being proposed. So with this item number 9, this is related to just Chapter 17.03, our administrative provisions. We're proposing some wording modifications. We've altered our notice provisions so that we're matching Nevada revised statutes. We just really went back through here and just reread it and to make sure everything was up to date. We've added, we have lists of project applications that are listed in 1703, and one of the topics that we usually have are road abandonments is an application type that we have that wasn't included, so we've gone ahead and added that. So a lot of these are just kind of clarifications and administrative tweaks to the language. So staff is recommending approval, the Planning Commission is also recommending approval of these changes to 1703.
Very good. Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Kathy?
No questions. Thank you, Marshal.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Carmona?
None.
Thank you, Commissioner. Open up. Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right. Hearing no comments, Commissioner Carmona, if I get a motion to approve this bill and ordinance.
Yes, sir. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the first reading of Bill 115, Ordinance Number 20-304, Text Amendments to Story County Code Title 17, Administrative Provisions to Clarify and Modify Language and Align into NRS Noticing Requirements in Section 17.03.050, 17.03.060, 17.03.070, and 17.03.080.
I'll second your motion.
Who just chimed in?
That's Keith Loomis.
Oh, hi, Keith.
Hi. We will need to read the title in.
Okay.
Title for this one, Ordinance 20-304, Bill Number 115, an ordinance amending Story County Code Title 17 Administrative Provisions to clarify and modify language and align to NRS noticing requirements in section 17.03.050, 17.03060, 17.03.070, and 17.03.080.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Anything else, Mr. Loomis?
Nothing further, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. All right. I'll ask once again, any additional comments? Public comment? Hearing none? Okay. We had a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. We will now move on to item number 10, discussion for possible action. The first reading of Bill 116, Ordinance 20-305, Texas Amendment Story County Code, Title 17, Zoning, adding, modifying, clarifying, elaborating upon, and consolidating land use and other terms and definitions in Chapter 17-10. Ms. Canfield.
Thank you again. So this title, 17.10, is the definitions chapter of the zoning code. And so when we went through this, we were trying to consolidate and clarify some topics that we had some questions about over the years. So some of the bigger things that we did, we added a new definition for animal boarding and grooming. We added a beekeeping definition. We clarified some language to the crisis care facility, really outlining what that is. Added equestrian establishment definition. Added language to the wild animal keeping definition. And then some of these, we have a definition for game farm and a definition for zoo. Those were proposed to delete, and those were wrapped into the wild animal keeping definition. We did add some language to the recreational vehicle park definition that we found through a past meeting and discussion with the project that we wanted to include that a watchman's dwelling was part of that definition. That helps keep it in line with our other Story County Code 8.24 that talks about RV parks. And then we had some clarifying language for veterinary services. We had a lot of different large animals, small animal, outside, inside, and clarified that all into one. And then just some other minor typos and smaller tweaks to the language. So staff is recommending approval for this. The Planning Commission also recommended approval. This, again, went through about 13 meetings in different locations through here. So staff is recommending that we approve these changes.
Very good. Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Kathy regarding this item?
No, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Carmona?
None at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Is there any public comment on this item? Hearing none, before I ask for a motion, if I could ask Kathy to go ahead and read the title on this, so we'll be taking direction from our legal team.
Okay, this is for Bill Number 116, Ordinance 20-305, an ordinance amending Story County Code Title 17 zoning, adding, modifying, clarifying, elaborating upon, and consolidating land use and other terms and definitions in Chapter 17.10, definitions, and as those terms and definitions apply to and within all regulatory zones and all other provisions in the zoning ordinance. Terms include animal boarding and grooming, beekeeping, crisis care facility, equestrian establishments, veterinary services, and wild animals.
Very good. Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Carmona, if I get a motion to approve.
Yep. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the first reading of Bill 116, Ordinance Number 20-305, text amendments to Story County Code Title 17, Zoning, adding, modifying, clarifying, elaborating upon, and consolidating land use and other terms and definitions in Chapter 17.10. Definitions as those terms and definitions apply to and within all regulatory zones and all other provisions in the zoning ordinance. Terms include animal boarding and grooming, beekeeping, crisis care facility, equestrian establishments, veterinary services, and wild animal keeping.
I'll second your motion, Jerry.
Very good. Thank you. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. Moving now on to item number 11, discussion for possible action. The first reading of Bill number 117, Ordinance 20-306, text amendments to the Story County Code Title 17. I'm not going to read the rest of the text because Kathy will be reading all of this one in her summation here. So, Ms. Canfield?
This is for modifications to Chapter 17.12, which are the general provisions identified for the whole zoning code. So this one did have a lot of discussion at all the 13 meetings that we had, and things that had changed. And we did have some really good discussions about some of these topics. So the things that are proposing to be amended in here are the home enterprises section, which tried to clarify some of this and make it more realistic than for how home enterprises are being used. We have clarified the communications facilities height in the industrial commercial, the I-2 and the I-3 is 75 feet. We've modified the accessory buildings and shipping containers language. The shipping container language had a lot of description in it, and we're trying to really streamline that. We are proposing to modify, since the Planning Commission meeting, we did have a discussion about shipping containers themselves and what they could be used for. We're looking at these as accessory structures, not accessory dwellings, but accessory structures. There was some language in there about having plumbing fixtures. Staff has looked at this, and we're recommending that we would take out that language also, and that any kind of use of these shipping containers that could not be an accessory dwelling, but that it would just have to meet the building code requirement, that we could take this out of the zoning code, just let the building code would now address that. We've revised our accessory dwellings language in the code to identify the criteria that you would have to meet for the accessory dwellings, and not require a special use permit any longer for that if you can meet the accessory criteria. The one thing that it has been in here that the Planning Commission has recommended is that we eliminate the size requirement for an accessory dwelling. Previously, we had the requirement that it had to be within 500 to 1,000 square feet. We've had some applications for accessory dwellings that have exceeded that and have been approved by both the Planning Commission and the Board that have exceeded that size requirement. So we've eliminated that and have required that there's a deed restriction language about that accessory dwelling. But just to be noted that there is no size limitation, either small or large, on that any longer. We've modified the Comstock Historic District language to where the requirements are for a wooden porch over a boardwalk. We're finding that the Historic District goes from the rest area on the one side to the Fourth Ward School. And we have had some inquiries where maybe it's really not appropriate. We really want that in the truly downtown area and not necessarily out by the Fourth Ward School. So we've recommended putting in the street language from which street that would go. And then also adding that if a different use, when they're replacing the boardwalks, if they wanted a different type of material use for a boardwalk, that would require a special use permit from the board. We've revised our setback encroachment language, we've revised our fencing language, we've clarified public utility uses and the minimum lot sizes for those, stating that a public utility use or quasi-public utility use doesn't necessarily need to meet the minimum lot size requirements. We have had some issues with that, with maybe like a substation wanting to go in an industrial area and not needing that to be a 3-acre parcel, that it would be a smaller piece, but it would just be limited to those utility uses. off-street parking, we've amended some of that language so that so commercial uses could have a commercial parking lot on adjacent property or a nearby property and not necessarily have to try to put everything onto the where the commercial use actually is. We revised open storage to remove the prohibited language. We had prohibited language in there, but then we had exceptions where it could be permitted. So we've kind of taken out the prohibited and just really identified what needed to happen if you had open storage or where it was allowed if it's not. We've revised the general provisions for the crisis care facilities. In the 1710, we really identified what the definition of one of these are. We had an issue with this where the community chest was proposing one at one point, and it would need a special use permit. Well, you don't want to advertise where these are. So we needed to, that was kind of a quirk that we needed to fix. We also added a wireless communication facilities to all the zoning districts subject to the height requirements. That makes it consistent with what FCC requirements are. And then we added a section just stating that for properties that are within a mapped FEMA floodplain that they do require a permit, even if the building permit is not required, they do require a FEMA floodplain permit. And then there were some other modifications and clarifying language throughout that was added. The Planning Commission, we did have a discussion. We did have a member of the public that had questions about the use for the accessory structures and the shipping containers. And so I think after staff had some more discussion, we are in agreement that we should remove the plumbing fixture requirement or prohibition from that. And other than that, we had discussions regarding some of these other changes that we think will probably be something for future, another future thing, not part of this discussion. So I'm happy to answer any questions. We're moving forward with this one too, because like I said, we have a couple of people that are waiting for some of these changes, and kind of pushing this off indefinitely didn't seem like it was being very helpful for them. So staff is recommending approval and the Planning Commission recommended approval of this change.
Mr. Chairman, I have one thing I'd like to add. First of all, Kathy's done a fabulous job on this. Really, the goal objective of this is to deregulate, to make things clearer and make things easier for people in our communities. There was one item regarding mother and law quarters where they were limited to 1,000 feet before. And staff had recommended to the Planning Commission that main, the Planning Commission was pretty insistent they would like to reduce that, or not reduce it, but eliminate that cap. There's arguments on both sides to support and refute. I don't think the Planning Commission is wrong, but the concern was is if you have 2 houses in Highlands, for example, you know, what would happen if somebody were to build 2,000 square foot homes, call one of them a mother-in-law quarter, and then the mother-in-law or whoever goes away? What do you do with 2 very large estate homes on a parcel? You know, you really mothball an entire home like that and turn it into a non-accessory dwelling use. We argue that the 1,000 square foot limitation that we have now kind of maintains the purpose of a mother-in-law quarters to be just that. Mom and dad are living there where they no longer are. You go ahead and convert it into a garage, convert it into storage, whatever it is. It doesn't end up becoming really 2 large houses on a lot. The problem we run into, and Kathy and I have both faced this over the years, is somebody has a really great idea with an 1,100 square foot house, a 1,200 square foot house, a 1,500 square foot house that they want to do, and the code doesn't allow it, and sometimes that creates friction. So I don't know what to tell you other than we're just telling you what we recommend to the Planning Commission, what the Planning Commission has decided to go with, and it would be up to this board how they want to treat that. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Kathy?
I don't have any questions. I'm glad they're approaching the issue. I think that a cap of 1,000 is not in the best interest of good planning. So I'm delighted they're taking a look at that. I can't suggest what the answer is today, but I appreciate them pulling that into this particular regulation.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Carmona?
I'm
have nothing at this time.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask for a clarification?
Who do you want the clarification from, Austin?
No, I'm Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Gilman. So I want to make sure I communicated that correctly. So the Planning Commission wants to remove the 1,000 square foot cap. You were okay with that. I want to make sure I'm hearing you correct.
Yes, I agree absolutely. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, with that, Austin, I'm not opposed of removing the cap, but I don't think I would be in favor of having two 2,000 square foot houses on a parcel that should only have one residence. And, so that's something we're going to have to look at. My question for Kathy is, if I understand you correctly, removing the prohibition on having any plumbing in a storage container means that someone could actually set up house inside a storage container. Do I understand you correctly?
It would just be similar to what an accessory structure could do already. So if you had something like a garage and you had, or a shop building, and you had a sink that you wanted to have out in the garage building, this right now, in a shipping container, you would be able to do that. An accessory garage, you would be able to do that. We wouldn't consider that an accessory dwelling. That's a different section that's talking about that.
Well, I guess my concern is if we take the prohibition off of plumbing fixtures, they're going to put in a sink, a toilet, and a shower, and then in some cases you're going to have people living in storage containers, and I don't think that's the direction we want to go in.
Chairman McBride, if you don't mind, what Kathy has kind of, we talked about in this, and those are valid concerns. We don't want people living in accessory buildings, whether they're a tool shed that's made of wood or a shipping container made of metal or one challenge that Kathy's really done great in this ordinance is we're trying to reduce as much conflicts as possible between the zoning ordinance and the building codes and deferring those building code elements over to the building department. A lot of that deals with plumbing, electrical, and structural, and so we're trying to reduce the conflicts where that zoning ordinance says you can't do this and it's complicated, where the building code says you can't. We do believe in this case it's subject to enforcement, of course. And like Kathy said, right now and in the new ordinance, you can put a sink in an accessory detached garage. You would not be able to put a sink in an accessory detached shipping container. We get into these conflicts sometimes where shipping containers treated as something different than accessory buildings. And we're finding ourselves at the Planning Commission having very long meetings trying to define a lot of these players and what isn't. We would rather, what we're proposing is just treat all accessory detached buildings the same, whether it's a shipping container, whether it is a wood structure, whatever it might be, except for there are certain zones, of course, that would not allow shipping containers at all. That's not, you know, what's in front of us. So the building department then would deal with those other elements, and we would make sure they don't become accessory dwellings, but like you described, a full bathroom and kitchen.
All right. Thank you, Austin.
Austin, this is Lance, if I may. So my understanding on shipping containers is that they can be converted into workspaces or accessory facilities. And in the interest of health, having a bathroom and a sink and an operation, but we do have language that would preclude them being converted into a residential use. And that would not be acceptable, and we can control that within the county, correct?
Yeah, I'm going to Kathy too, but that is correct.
Yes.
Thank you.
Very good. Is there a public comment regarding this item?
Commissioner Gilman, Clay Mitchell here.
Good morning, Clay.
Oh, hi. How are you, Commissioner McBride?
Very good.
So I just wanted to take a moment to compliment both staff and the Planning Commission. The effort to streamline these regulations is really helpful, and I think the right direction, making sure that it's in line with all the other regulations and also not duplicating and clarifying and simplifying. And I support the changes that are in here. The one concern that I have that I think is, and I just want to go on record, I don't think it's a reason not to go forward with this, but I'm an advocate for, as much as possible, supporting affordability and access to housing. And I have a bit of a reaction to the dwelling restriction with the deed restriction for mother-in-law units in some zones, not obviously in every zone, but I think that's part of the conversation that down the road would be helpful, is the possibility of discussing if there's a possibility of opening for an accessory dwelling in the right situation to be used as a rental to help with housing affordability. And I know that that's a much bigger conversation than what's happening here. I support going ahead with these changes, but I thought that I would just go on the record as registering my concern with the restrictiveness of across the board only allowing accessory dwellings as a mother-in-law unit where, with that relationship deed restriction on it. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for your comments. Any other additional comment out there in our audience? All right, before I ask Commissioner Carmona to motion on this, if I could get Kathy to read the title.
Sure. One of the things, though, with the motion, if you're supportive of removing that plumbing fixture restriction, I'd like to add that to the motion, to amend the motion, if you so choose to do that. So the title for this is Bill Number 117, Ordinance Number 20-306. An ordinance amending Story County Title 17, Zoning Chapter 17.12, General Provisions, adding, modifying, and clarifying provisions within the chapter, including home enterprises, idle buildings and structures, accessory buildings and shipping containers, accessory dwellings, Comstock Historic District standards, setback encroachments, perimeter fencing, public utility uses, minimum lot area, off-street parking, open storage, general provisions for all zones, including crisis care and wireless communication facilities and property located within mapped FEMA floodplain.
Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Carmona, would you like to make a motion on this? And I was wondering if you would be so gracious as to include the prohibition on plumbing fixtures in these. I don't know where you sit on this, but I don't think it's appropriate to start setting these up for. I think we can see this going the wrong way.
I think for the purposes of the shipping container, I see where you're going, and I guess I'm okay with moving forward. I don't want to inhibit somebody from putting a wash sink, let's say, in a shop that they have, I guess I really don't see an issue with putting that in there. I guess if somebody wanted to, they could maybe come and get a special use permit if they so desired to put a cleaning area in there. And I don't know how it's going to work, but.
How about if we ask you, Commissioner Gilman, do you want to weigh in on this?
No, I don't have a comment there. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, Jay, I think that's a good idea to have it in there so that if they want to go ahead and put in some type of fixture for whatever the need be, that they get a special use permit. Because I just don't want seeing people going ahead and putting storage containers on the property simply so they can put in a secondary residence for whatever the purpose might be.
Well, with what's been going on lately and the modifications to shipping containers, I'm okay to side with you on this one. Because that just does open a door, so I'll find a way to squeeze it in there. So no plumbing fixtures and accessory dwellings. Is that how we want to state that?
No.
Can I interrupt for?
Yes, go ahead, Kathy.
So where we're looking at is if you have your packet, it's on page 8 of 30. Is the language that we're talking about, and it's at the very bottom. So right now, under shipping containers, general provisions, number three states must not include plumbing fixtures. If you're okay with leaving that language as is for shipping containers, we don't need to amend anything.
Oh, okay.
If you're wanting to say it's okay to have a plumbing fixture in a storage shipping container, then that's what we would need to amend. But But if you're, you're at a point right now where you want to keep the language that we already have that says must not include plumbing fixtures, we don't need to change anything. And if this is something that maybe you want to have a future discussion about, maybe I would suggest leave the language as it is for the moment, and we would include this in a future discussion.
Thank you for the clarification on that. So we don't need to make any amendments, Marshall.
Okay.
Are you good with that?
True. Yes, I am. Very good.
Okay. All right. Ready for the motion?
I am.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the first reading of Bill 117, Ordinance Number 20-306, Text Amendments to Story County Code Title 17, Zoning Chapters 17.12, General Provisions, adding, modifying, and clarifying provisions within the chapter, including home enterprise, height of buildings and structures, accessory buildings and shipping containers, accessory dwellings, Comstock Historic District standards, setback encroachments, perimeter fencing, public utility uses, minimum lot area, off-street parking, open storage, general provisions for all zones, including crisis care and wireless communication facilities, and property located within FEMA floodplain.
I'll second your motion, Jay.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. Now we'll move on to item number 13, discussion for possible action. Resolution number 20-568 to reduce on a day-to-day prorated basis the total rent slash lease of all non-essential commercial tenants of properties owned by Story County. Effective the day of the Governor Sisolak's Directive 003, which was March the 20th of 2020, to remain closed, and that for the rent reduction to remain effective until non-essential businesses may reopen to the public per the governor, but not to exceed 60 calendar days from the Directive 003. Mr. Osborne, are you going to handle this?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'll speak loudly. We had to change the microphone, so I want to make sure you can hear me. On March 20th, the governor, of course, approved resolution or his directive 003, closing non-essential businesses. Those did include gyms, fitness centers, saloon bars, other alcohol establishments. At that point, he also made a recommendation to commercial landlords across the state to try to give breaks to tenants and let them something that will help them during the 30, 60-day, however long closure period will last, to say, you know, please do something, you know, forgive rent, forbear rent, do something to try to give a break to these small businesses that are tenants. In our case, we are a landlord of two small commercial operations, one of them being the Old Corner Bar located in the Piper's Opera House. The second one is Divide Fitness. Of course, we'll give it up to the Divide Bill. Based on this, we're recommending at this point, as explained in the agenda, to forgive rent to both these tenants on a prorated basis based on how long the governor's closure lasts, but no more than 60 days. So if the governor tomorrow were to say, you know, go ahead and open back up, and at that point, that rent forgiveness would end. The resolution, of course, explains what that would be. So you know the rent on these properties per month is $1,800 for the Old Corner Bar, $1,500 for the Divide Fitness.
Thank you for that, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any comments or concerns on this item?
Yeah, I'm 100% in favor of amending their rents and holding them for a bit. I'll tell you, when this shutdown started, the first thing that my son and I did was to forgive the rents on a number of tenants that we have there in Virginia City and in Story County. I think it's only appropriate if, as a government entity, we're going to require that a business close the doors and shut the revenue tap off. It would be pretty disingenuous to require that they can continue paying the fees and the taxes and all of the things that go along with operating that business without any revenue. So I'm 100% in favor of offsetting that rent for the period of time that they may not remain open and generating revenues.
As well said, Commissioner Gilman, and I agree with you entirely on this. Commissioner Carmona?
First of all, I want to applaud any landlord that is willing to forego any rent. The only issue I have is, in the sake of fairness, I think that what would be a good option would be to maybe allow these folks a 12-month period where they could pay the back rent. The reason I'm driven by this is there are a lot of merchants who are left in the same lurch. And while I obviously appreciate the business for the folks that are renting county buildings, I think the majority of the merchants in Nevada are taking a serious hit. And I think it would only be fair that, if we're going to give anybody a break, I'd like to see them maybe on a 12-month payment plan. If they're unable to make those payments after, 12 months, we can look at possibly extending that. But like I said, there's a lot of merchants out there. God bless the landlords that are willing to forego rent. I know there are some out there. I've spoken with a few folks that are doing that. But I would like to see us not forego the rent. And maybe put them on a 12-month payment plan. And again, if they need a little more time, we can stretch it out if we need to. We can discuss that at a later date. But, there's just so many merchants out there that are really, taking a huge hit. And, we obviously can't do it for every merchant. I'd like to see us just extend it to 12 months rather than forego the rent.
Well, my thoughts on
Lance.
Go ahead, Lance.
I don't disagree with the general concept, but I believe the difference here is that independent landlords, independent operators such as myself or perhaps Marshall and others, we really have the choice of leaving the rent in place or doing the eviction. Of course, we can't do an eviction now because that's been stopped. But to me, Jay, the difference here is this landlord is the community of Story County. And it's the community of Story County, it's the government entities that are requiring that these companies close. And to require that they close and then require that they continue paying our rents in that specific instance, I just feel that's a government overexerting power in the private sector. And I'm not comfortable with Story County collecting rents when they have joined the other governments enforcing those closures.
Yeah, I totally respect your opinion, Lance. spend the day discussing the legal authority of forcing businesses to close. I've said it before, and I point the finger at the governor. I know that we all are concerned with everybody's health, but the my concern is that it's the taxpayers' money, and essentially some of these tenants are taxpayers, and I know that they would enjoy foregoing their rent as well. So, again, I respect your opinion, but I'm going to have to hold fast on my 12 months rather than foregoing the rent. I mean, it's, like I said, it's the taxpayers' money, but there's just far too many businesses that I know that are suffering and would enjoy this as well, but they just don't have the luxury of renting from Story County. So.
All right. Both of you have made some very good points. My thoughts on this are that merchants who don't own their own properties and they do have landlords, I think it's incumbent upon the landlords to go ahead and work with their tenants. I've been doing this for quite a while myself, and I know that by the state going ahead and closing down all what they consider non-essential businesses, which I don't know how they consider one essential and one not, since they closed the car dealerships, and then he opened them, and now he closed them again. So I don't know who's been in his ear. I know that from being a landlord for a period of time that you want to work with your tenants and you want to be fair with them. I think to charge someone rent when they're forced to be closed by the government would be punitive. And along with that, that if you end up losing a tenant, if you're a landlord and you lose a tenant and it costs you 1, 2, or 3 months of a vacant property before you get another tenant in there, you've lost a lot more money than if you just went ahead and bended the rules a little bit to keep your existing tenants in there. So with that said, I want to open it up and see if there's any public comment out there. Anybody on the line? Okay, so with that said, what I'm going to do now is, since I know where my two fellow commissioners sat on this, I'm going to go to Commissioner Gilman and ask you to motion to approve this. Lance, I don't think you have your microphone on.
I'm sorry, Marshall.
There you go.
I certainly appreciate your comments. I come at it as a landlord with multiple properties, and I firmly believe that we have a responsibility to offset these rents for our clients. So I'm going to approve, Lance Gilman, I'm going to approve the motion to approve resolution 20-568 to reduce on a day-to-day prorated basis the total rent lease of all non-essential commercial rents of properties owned by Story County, effective the day of Governor Sisolak's Directive 003, March 20th, 2020, to remain closed, and for the rent reduction to remain effective until non-essential businesses may reopen to the public per the governor, but not to exceed 60 days from March 20th, 2020. This action is exclusive to the Old Corner Bar and Divide Fitness commercial tenants of Story County.
Very good. I have the motion. I'll second your motion. It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Nay.
Thank you. All right. So that concludes the regular business of today's meeting. So we're going to go ahead and backtrack now and go to item number 4. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. I'm going to go right down the list. I don't know of everybody who's on the phone. I have a list on the video who's here, but I'll start off with Sheriff Antonoro.
Nothing.
Thanks, Jerry. Operations over at Public Works, Mike Northam. At the Community Chess and Library, Eric Schoen. Any of our nonprofits from the St. Mary's Art Center? Ms. Perry? Piper's Opera House, Whitney Brunson? Justice of the Peace, Eileen Harrington? County Assessor, Janice Edden. County Recorder, Marnie Hansen Martinez.
Nothing to report. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Marnie. The V&T Railroad General Commission General Manager, Elaine Spencer. Do we have anyone down in the Lockwood District from RSVP? Anybody representing the senior center down there? Do we have Beth Kemp on the line today? Story Senior Center, Stacey York. Anyone from the Lockwood LLC? Is Edna down there? Director of IT, James Dean. The Public Works Director, Jason Wurzbeski. Our labor relations, Jeannie Green. HR Director, Jen Chapman. Director of Communications, Dave Ballard.
Nothing to report today, thank you.
Thanks, Dave. VCTC, Denny Dotson. Community Relations, Laura Mather.
Yes, I have a few things to report on. For the record, this is Laura Mather, Community Relations Coordinator. I have an update for, I know you called out for Stacy as a senior center, and I do have an update for them. So the senior center is still doing the drive-through meals. They have also meal boxes available for every senior citizen. If a senior is uncomfortable with leaving their home, which is totally understandable during this time, they can call the senior center and the senior center can make arrangements to do their shopping for them. Or they can sign them up for Meals on Wheels to have meals delivered to their home. So that's still available. You just have to give the senior center a call. The Mark Twain Community Center is also doing the food outreach for the community. What they are doing in order to enforce the social distancing is they're creating time slots for people to come pick up their food boxes. So that's also available through the Mark Twain Community Center. St. Mary's Arts Center is doing a wonderful art project for children in the community. It's called Art in Challenging Times. And it's a social quilt and sculpture project. So they're encouraging Comstock kids of all ages to create 1 to 2 pieces of artwork to share their experiences, feelings, and just everything that they're going through right now during this time, school closures and that kind of stuff. And then St. Mary's Arts Center is working with the Comstock Cemetery Foundation and volunteers, and any of the artwork that is done on textile, any form of cloth, will be put together to create a quilt, and the quilt will be displayed at a later time. So just a great opportunity for kids to be able to deal with their emotions or concerns through artwork here in the community. Great. As far as the emergency management part of what Community Relations does, I'm going to refer to Joe Curtis. We've been working very close on all of the emergency management part of the COVID-19 issues, so I will let him address those parts.
Very good. Laura, on the items regarding the Meals on Wheels and drive-through meals and shopping for residents, do we have that posted on the website and on Facebook by chance?
I believe we do. I will double check to make sure, but I believe it is on all of our social media and our website as well.
Very good. Thank you.
I'm sorry, one last thing as far as anybody interested in the children's art program, they can just go to St. Mary's Art Center's webpage or their Facebook page and get more information on that.
Good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Ms. Mather?
No questions, thank you.
Commissioner Carmona? I think I lost you.
None at this time.
Great, thank you, Jay. Okay, thank you, Laura. Okay, our water sewer projects. Mike Nevin, are you on the line? All right. County Fire Marshal and Acting Community Development Director, Martin Azevedo. Emergency Management Director, Joe Curtis.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Joe Curtis is here. For the record, just a few things. Okay, Laura had to shut her microphone down. A few things just to kind of give you a little bit more update over what we talked about on Tuesday. As of this morning, there's a total of 18 active cases within the four county area. There's 10 cases in Carson City. There are 5 cases in Douglas County and 3 cases in Lyon County. And there's a total of those cases, nine of those have fully recovered, and we have no deaths from COVID-19 within the Fort County area. The matter or question of public, or correction, personal protective equipment for our emergency responders, fire, and law enforcement. We're in pretty good shape with that. We've received requests from our resources that we have, that the county and the Quad County has acquired. We have been able to acquire masks, gowns, and face shields from that. As of yesterday, we acquired those. And we have supply, and that has been issued out to the various places. The Sheriff's Correction, the Fire Department, has the stock of all of those items at their location. The other item, quickly, is the Tesla warehouse that we dealt with or worked with Tesla to arrange for a warehouse pursuant to the governor's request. Started receiving shipments from for ventilators and personal protective equipment as of yesterday. And the National Guard is working to control that and take care of that stuff. The other thing is as you may have seen on the news, that there's been some incidents of people trying to steal these masks from different locations. So if you have a supply of masks, make sure that you keep them protected, that people don't walk off with them. They're even being put onto eBay and that sort of thing. So take care of those, if you would, please. The Quad County Health Consortium Group will be receiving flu test kits shortly here, and they will be possibly setting up some areas for being able to do testing. We will provide you further information on that as we move down the road as necessary. With that, unless there's any questions, that would be it for me this morning, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Joe. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Joe?
You're on mute, Marshall.
I don't think I'm on mute. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Joe?
I'll read lips.
I was on mute. I just found out. Thank you so very much. He's been tireless in this task. And
everybody.
The entity is inside. I know there are, Joe, but you know, there has to be a leader that's there and takes all the calls and makes the decisions. And I just want to personally thank you for everything you're doing for Story County. You're unconditional, and it's wonderful to be a part of your crew.
I appreciate it. I'm sorry. We have to keep muting phones and stuff. But, I appreciate your comments, Mr. Gilman, it's comforting, and you can be assured that if it has to do with my county, I will be here. Between us, Laura and I, we've done a lot of things, and we're making things work, and that's the important thing, is that we work together as a team. And I've said this many times, and I'll say it once again, is it never ceases to amaze me how we as a county come together and accomplish things when things get tough in our county. It works every time, it seems like, if we just never have any difficulties working between the whole bunch of us.
Very good. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Joe?
No questions for Joe, but for those of us that watched the Carson City Town Hall last night, the reason that we have no COVID cases in Story County is because there's pretty much only horses up here. And apparently we already are socially distanced to begin with. So maybe that's the reason we're all safe up here, but I say keep up the good work.
Ms. Carmona, I think that I attach the reason for that is, one, primarily because of our lesser population, per se. So our population is such that the odds and the percentage factors are in our favor.
That works.
Great. Thank you, Joe.
Okay.
All right, over at our planning department, Kathy Canfield.
No other planning items today, but prior to finishing the meeting, I would like to discuss item 12 on the agenda.
Did I skip number 12?
I think so.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I had a notation here. I'm sorry. You know what? Why don't we... do you want to do it now, or do you want us to come back to it?
Well, we're recommending that this item be continued, and I wanted to put in that we recommend it be continued to the June 2nd, 2020 meeting of the board. We anticipate having the discussions regarding this item at the Planning Commission meeting. And right now we have that tentatively scheduled for May 21st, so June 2nd would be after that.
Mr. Chairman, I would recommend that this be held on its own specific item, that we finish up this and then go ahead and return to us.
Okay.
Everything properly.
Very good. Very good. We'll do that. All right. Thank you. Let's go ahead and move down the list here, and we'll go over to the Comptroller's Office. Jennifer McCain.
Nothing today, Chairman. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Jennifer. Fire Chief Nevin. Chief Deputy District Attorney Keith Loomis.
Good day, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. District Attorney Langer. County Manager Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I only have one thing I want to reinforce what Joe Curtis and Laura Mather has said about our team in this COVID-19 matter. It is every one of us. It's our HR department, and it's our community development department, and emergency management team, and fire, and I could go down the list of all the individuals and departments. But I'm, you know, I'm just so grateful to work in a county like this, where when something of a catastrophe happens, no different than it's always been, our team all come to the plate, and everybody has their part in keeping us afloat, keeping us moving forward. I know other places are great too, and they're doing a great job. But this place is just wonderful. I heard you mention Joe Curtis. Not only do I say I agree with them, but I personally thank every single person on our team for all the different things that you've done for us. And that includes our exterior community with the school district, the community chess. I could go on and on. So thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Austin. County Clerk, Vanessa Stevens.
Nothing today. Thank you.
Nothing. Thank you, Vanessa. Okay, let's go ahead and backtrack to item number 12. This is discussion for possible action. This is the first reading of Bill 118, Ordinance 20-307. I apologize for this. I had it circled for a notation, but I must have assumed that we were continuing it without actually continuing it. So did you want to elaborate any more on this, Kathy, or would you just like us to go ahead and vote to continue this to the June 2nd date?
We would prefer to have this continued. We have a planning commissioner that brought up a topic that we did want to have some further discussion on these items. So we anticipate having that discussion on May 21st at our planning commission meeting. And so we would recommend at this time a motion to continue this to the June 2nd, 2020 Board of County Commissioners meeting.
Good. Great. Thank you, Kathy. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, can I get a motion to continue this?
Yeah, I, Jay Carmona, make a motion to continue item number 12 to the June 2nd meeting. Is that what they said?
Yes.
June 2nd meeting.
All right. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved in second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, moving along now to item number 14. This is public comment. Do we have anyone who would like to make public comment today? Anybody on the telephone would like to make public comment?
It's Tammy Negan, owner of the Corner Bar. Can you hear me?
Yes, Tammy.
I just would like to thank Commissioner McBride and Gilman and County Manager Osborne for their assistance in item number 13. As we all work together, we will get through this healthy and hopefully come out successful before the year's over.
Yeah, well, we wish the best for everybody. So we know it's going to be a struggle for the merchants throughout the whole county. So, all right. Any other public comment from anybody on the phone? Hearing none? Okay, we'll see everybody on April the 21st, right here, live and in color. This meeting's adjourned.